As announced this morning, we are discussing choices and decisions. As I have already commented, there are those who have decided, for whatever reason, not to be here this evening. It is a shame because the Word of God is something that we need in our lives. It is something that we should be happy about. It is something that we should be joyous about. And we will see as we discuss this evening that decisions and choices have consequences. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, we see in our text a passage that comes from a time when God spoke directly with his people through those who he had chosen to lead them. And Israel had recently come out of Egyptian bondage. We're in the process of beginning to cross the desert, headed toward Cana. And, of course, there were choices to make. In Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 15, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." God had made a promise to Abraham. He repeated that promise to Isaac, and then he also repeated that promise to Jacob. He was fulfilling it with this particular generation of the Israelites, and they were on their way to possess the land. However, they had to make choices, not the choices just to go, but whether or not to serve God. He said, "But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but will be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it." If you'll remember the story of Israel as they traveled in the wilderness, as Moses went upon the mountain to receive the law from God, in less than 40 days, they began to serve other gods. They began to desire to serve a graven image, and because of that, many of them perished in the wilderness. In verse 19, we continue reading, and we see, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." This text comes from a time when Moses, speaking to the people of God, Israel, during the time of wandering in the wilderness, and God had informed them through Moses that life is filled with choices and decisions. And you know what? It hasn't changed even today. We will make choices today that will affect the remainder of this week. We will make choices this night that perhaps will affect the way we rest or not rest. But life is full of choices. But also within this text, Moses alerted them to the fact that our choices and decisions have consequences. Every choice we make has an end result. Each must pay the price for bad choices and decisions. And those who make good choices and good decisions will be rewarded for those things. It's an interesting thing about choices and decisions. Someone once said, and I think correctly so, that you will never change your life until you change something you do daily. If you do the same thing the same way every day, you cannot but expect the same results. If you want different results, you need to change your day, something you do in your day. And so the secret of success is found in your daily routine. What are our daily choices? What are our daily decisions? And we may not think much of it. Do we choose to do something when we should be doing something else? How does that affect our day? How does that affect our attitude? How does that affect our life? We face choices and decisions on a daily basis. but they do have consequences. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, the wise man Solomon, directed by the Spirit, wrote so that we have this record. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion, the end result of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring into work every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Those things which we have in our lives, whether it be evil or whether it be good, they will have consequences or rewards. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18, again, with the Spirit directing the pen of the prophet Malachi, "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." And it's very easy to see the result of the choices people make. When people make the choice to serve God, they're going to be active. They're going to be alive. They're going to be busy serving God, doing his will. Those who do not serve God will not be active and alive and faithfully serving him. We are the product of the decisions we make. Have you ever thought about something like that? We are the product or the end result of the decisions we make. Oftentimes people come up with things that they're accredited to them. It is accredited to Eleanor Roosevelt, and I'm not sure if she said it or not, but I have no reason to doubt it. But if she did, it was a very wise statement. One's philosophy is expressed in the choices one makes. The process never ends until we die. If we make choices, we may very well make the wrong choices, but that process is not over because we can possibly choose again another way if time permits. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5, we see that this is true about Moses. "Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." Oftentimes Moses is depicted as a baby, and he was found in the bulrushes in the ark that his mother prepared for the salvation of that child, because the Pharaoh had said every child under a certain age was to be killed. Well, and it seems in the minds of some people that instantly, almost immediately, when that child was born, that very shortly after it was weaned, it was taken to Pharaoh's house. But he obviously received instruction, and he knew how to make the choice. We see also in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 and 29, he was hid 3 months of his parents. And that's not a lot of time to teach a child, but we need to also be aware of the fact that he was instructed because he could make a choice. If you look at a situation and you don't know what to do, how can you make an informed choice? You can't. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, but they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, we see that it was Moses who had the opportunity to make a choice. When he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. As we read on, we will find out why he did this. But notice that Moses saw two different results from the things that he might choose. He could very well have chosen to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have chosen to continue in that lifestyle, but he chose rather to be with his people, the people of God. Why? Well, verse 26 says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." The choice that he made brought him where he needed to be. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he be that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they, talking about the children of Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. All of these were choices. All of these were choices in which Moses was involved, And he became who he was by the decisions that he made. And the same thing is true for every one of us. We are who we are today based on the decisions that we made. In times past, we have opportunities presented before us, and we perhaps decided to take advantage of those particular opportunities. And when we find out that that opportunity is not leading to where we want it to lead, we may abandon that. And we may choose something else. This is what Moses did. He chose what is proper. As we look at Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, we also see another choice. And this was a choice that was presented to the people by Joshua. He was just recently appointed as leader of Israel. Moses had died. Moses had not entered that promised land. Even though he had made good choices, he did make a few bad choices. One of the choices was that he and Aaron took credit for something that God had provided for Israel. Because of that, he was not allowed to enter the promised land. Joshua was given that great honor, and it was going to lead the people into that promised land. And in Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But we also see by the next phrase that Joshua had already made his choice. "But as for me and my house who will serve the Lord," it is interesting to me that as long as Joshua lived, and as long as the elders who served with Joshua lived, Israel served God. But when they were all dead, then Israel had based their choices upon their desires, their wishes, and they were led into some bad choices. As we go on down through the Bible, we can see a number of different choices that shows that we are the product of the decisions we make. Everybody remembers Naaman. Naaman was a leper. And in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 14, we won't take the time this evening to read the whole story. We're very familiar with it. We know that Naaman was given an opportunity to clear himself or to cleanse himself of a dread disease. And he had a choice to make. If you'll recall the telling of the story of Naaman, first he wanted the prophet of God to come out and do some great thing or say something over him, maybe touch the place and cleanse him. And then he told him to go and wash in that dirty river. He thought maybe there were some better places. And one of his servants appealed to his sense of reasoning and caused him to make the right choice, to think and to make the right choice. In 2 Kings 5:14, when he down, he made a choice. He dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. He chose to serve God to the end result that he desired, and that was to be cleansed of that leprosy. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see how he was the product of his choice. Had he chosen to go back to where he was from and say, you know, there's a lot cleaner rivers. Or he didn't do as I desired him to do, and so I'm not going to do what he wanted me to do. He would have made a choice, and the results would have been disastrous. It all boils down to attitude. I think our choices all boil down to the attitude that we have. And it may be that our attitude is not always what it should be. Sometimes our attitude flares up against the best of us and we make improper choices. But in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, Jesus told us how we ought to be. He tells us, as he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Doesn't mean that we have to become children. We have to become little children in attitude. And if you've ever experienced the good side of children, they have a very innocent way about them until the adults teach them to make the wrong choices. The reason that we are the product of the decisions we make It's because God created us with the ability to reason, the ability to think. He created us in the image of God. Of course, that means we have a soul. As Genesis 1:27 says, so that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And he created man with the ability to choose. And man has become the product of the decisions he made. Also, in discussing choices and decisions, we need to be aware of the fact that the decisions we make push us. When we make a decision, it causes other things to happen. The choices we make are cumulative. It's kind of like when you set up all the dominoes, and some people are very gifted at this. They set it up so when they fall, they'll be in a certain pattern, and they use different colored dominoes, and when one falls, it begins the cascading effect that goes through, and you see wonderful things happening. But if he chooses for whatever reason to put too large of a gap, you see that the process will not complete. The choices that we make are cumulative. The actions we take after making a decision influence the next choices that we make. We choose to do something and it results in something good. We may continue to choose along that line. But if we choose to do something and the choice that we make is not desirable, we're not going to continue to choose that. Case in point, I'm not a fan of guacamole. Everybody knows this. I have said this before. I'm not opposed to avocados. I just don't like guacamole. It's something about the texture. And so, if and when I decide to buy something that usually has guacamole on it, because I made the choice one time to eat it and decided I did not like it, I now make a different choice as to order it without. Not the greatest example, but it works. Now, we're going to see in 1 Samuel chapter 15 in verse 28, as Samuel was speaking to Saul, that Saul's choices were cumulative. It resulted in him having the kingdom taken away from him. If you remember, he claimed that he had fulfilled the request of God, but he did not kill Amalek. He did not kill the animals. He did not wipe that scourge off the face of the earth. And Samuel said to him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to the neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And if you'll recall, Saul sought even to kill David, throwing a javelin at him and sticking it in the wall. His choices are cumulative, and good choices are cumulative as well. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we no doubt remember the story of Daniel when the decree was made, when the king was tricked into making a decree that everyone that did not worship him or that worshiped any other person or being than him would be killed. Daniel had made a decision. He had made a choice. And he would continue making that. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime, even though there was the chance that his life would be taken from him. He continued to make those good choices, and it continued to push him toward continual and faithful service to God. One thing about decisions is that wrong decisions, if time permit, can be made right. But beware, they can also be made worse. Judas is a case that we need to discuss and look into in this, and we find his situation in John chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. We know what Judas did, and this is just one account of it. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where there was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. he knew where Jesus would be. He had made a decision, and he compounded that situation by continuing on and standing with those people with whom he came. Verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed them, stood with them. He made the wrong choice, and he continued to make wrong choices up to the point that he took his own life. Sometimes people can make the wrong choices and then later make the right choices. Let's look into the life of Peter. In Acts chapter 1, verses 16 through 19, we see that Peter was the one who was standing or speaking to the disciples just before the birth of the church. And he talks about Judas's decision. Judas could have repented. He says, Men and brethren, the scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part of his ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called the proper tongue of Seldama, that is to say, the field of blood. I guess I jumped ahead in my notes and said we're going to talk about Peter. We're still talking about Judas, but we're talking about Peter talking about Judas. And the example was there that he compounded his wrong decision by making it worse because he could have repented. He could have sought repentance, and it would have been granted if he would have been sincere. But no, what did he do? He went to the place where people were oftentimes hung, and he hanged himself. One account says that his bowels burst. He burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. And there have been people that have been trying to look at this and trying to compare the two. If you hang someone there, after a while, their body is going to bloat, and eventually, if left, they will split. And yes, their bowels will gush out. That is the way you justify that. But he made bad choices, compounding these bad choices to the end result of his soul being lost for eternity. Now let's look at Simon Peter. Let's go to John chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. We know about Peter how that oftentimes he was impetuous. He would speak before he would think. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, as so did another disciple that Jesus was, that disciple was known to the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the place of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spoke to her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. When she asked the question, presented before Peter was the opportunity, a choice. He had to make a decision. When there is a choice, you have to make a decision. He chose to deny the Lord. We know that Jesus knew all things. We know also that Jesus told Peter that he would deny him. And Peter said, No, I won't do that. But he did. In John chapter 18, verses 25, reading through verse 27, we'll see that he was out there and he was warming himself. No doubt they had some sort of fire. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? In other words, the evidence was very clear that Peter not only was in the garden with him, he was also one who had followed Jesus. And in verse 27, Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. He made some bad decisions, but not all bad decisions lead to destruction. They will if they're not repented of. They will if they're not addressed properly. I want us to jump forward now to Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, and notice the difference. Here is Peter. He was sad. The record tells us that when the cock crew and the Lord turned and looked at him, he went out and he wept bitterly. No doubt he lamented the fact that he made some poor choices. He made some bad decisions. But then he made another decision, a good decision, a decision to follow the Lord and to stay with those men who had served together with the Lord and to receive that which the Lord had promised. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together was about 120. He began to speak to them. He said, we need to do these things. We need to take care of these things. Continuing, having now made the right decision, we see him in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my voice. Just before the Lord's crucifixion, he denied the Lord. But not long after the Lord's ascension, he is preaching the Lord. He made some wrong decisions, and then he chose to do what was right and continued in that. And he continued to preach and teach. And as he continued to preach and teach, people heard the gospel. Obedience to the gospel is a decision. It provides forgiveness of past sins. It provides peace for the present and hope for the future. You might say, well, what is it about decisions? How is it that we continue to make the right decisions? It takes persistence to be righteous. We must continue in it. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, we see the Apostle Paul, directed by the Spirit, to write to this small group in Philippi. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, now this is from the time that they made the choice to become a child of God, from that point forward, as ye have always obeyed, not always in my presence, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What he's saying to them there? Continue to make good decisions. Continue to be persistent, to strive for righteousness. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. We need to be persistently diligent in our service to God and choose to be happy in doing so. We'll see as we look at Philippians 4 and verse 13, we have the help that we need to remain persistent. A lot of times people say, well, you know, I just can't help myself. Yes, you can. You can if you want to. You can change any habit that you have if you want to. But you have to be persistent. You have to seek the help that is available. And Philippians 4:13 gives us the greatest help that has ever been offered to man. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In fact, being persistent is a choice. We have to choose to be persistent. Now I have one last scripture with which we will close. I do not want you to set aside your Bibles or anything at this point, because the scripture is rather long. It's found in Romans, begins in chapter 1, verse 18. And it gives us the picture of those who choose not to be righteous. Oftentimes, when we have an example before us, it can help us to make a choice. It can help us to choose properly. Even by seeing the things that are wrong, it can help us. I know sometimes younger siblings learn from the actions and activities of their older siblings. And they say, when I'm not going to do that. I saw that they were spanked because they did that. And they learned. God used the same thing here in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Notice, if you will, the outcome or the choice or the decision to follow the world and not seek righteousness. It begins, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It also tells us that they knew the difference, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Nobody can stand before God when it's all said and done and say, I didn't know. There's no excuse. There's another place in Romans where he said they are without excuse. For the invisible things of him, speaking of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There we go. They don't have the excuse to say, I didn't know. Nobody told me. I didn't have the information I needed to make the right choice. But they made a choice. Because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They continued to make poor choices. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And if you look at all the idols of the world, you will see that it is made like something that God created. They don't worship God. They worship the creature more than the creator. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor them or their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, which is blessed forever. Amen. When man continues to make those choices, then man himself can only blame himself when he spends eternity separated from God. God will not force anyone to do what is right. He will place before you the choices, and we have to make decisions relative to those choices. Some of these people, because they refuse to acknowledge God, because they refuse to follow God, they did unnatural things. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, beginning in verse 27. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And here's where it all stems. Here's where they began making the bad choices, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God said, go ahead. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And the end result is they were filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. Choices and decisions are important. And before anybody says differently, God does not require the impossible. So many times people say, I can't do this. It's too hard. It may seem impossible to a doubter, but we can do what God wants if we have faith in him, because he will give us strength. We must make good choices, and we must continue to stick with them. An interesting thing about our lives is they are not judged by momentary heights of greatness, but rather by daily striving to make godly choices and decisions. You can make the right decision here this evening. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can decide to do so now. You can choose and decide to serve God from this moment forward. If you have chosen in the past to serve God, to be obedient to him, to become a child of God, and you've allowed sin to come into your life, know also that you have made choices that are improper. And these choices that you have made have turned you away from God. You can return back. For those who need to obey the gospel, they need to hear the word. James 1:22, believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, Acts 8:37. Repent of sins, Luke 13:3 and 5. Confess the name of Christ, Romans 10:9 and 10. And be baptized into Christ, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And then all of those who have been obedient are to remain faithful unto death. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Those who have decided that they have made bad choices and need to return to God, already are children of God, they are to come in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Tonight, the choice is yours. The decision is yours. If you want to, you can come to Jesus. Won't you come as together we stand and sing the selected song?